welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Lydia Johnson. Our guest this week is Minnesota Congresswoman Angie Craig, the ranking member on the House Ag Committee. She joins the show to discuss the newly unveiled farm aid package, trade, and year-round E15. But first, here are this week's headlines. President Donald Trump published an executive order directing officials to investigate if anti-competitive behavior is contributing to higher costs. The executive order directs the Department of Justice and Federal Trade Commission to each stand up a Food Supply Chain Security Task Force. The probe will also examine if foreign companies' participation in supply chains of food-related industries poses national security risks. The task force has 180 days to examine the issue and brief congressional leaders and committees on the progress. Over 100 witnesses representing industries across the U.S. economy recently testified on the value of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. The pact has been a boon for some U.S. farm exports, while others in the ag sector face existential threats from rising Mexican imports. Now, the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative is telling key congressional committees that a report on the administration's priorities for a mandated six-year review of the North American trade deal will actually be a closed-door oral briefing. Lawmakers are pushing back. Oregon Senator Ron Wyden said the public should be able to see a written report clearly laying out the United States position before the review. And Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley said that congressional intent when crafting the USMCA statute was for written reporting. However, the White House said there was no requirement for a written report, so the Trump administration didn't think it was necessary. President Donald Trump and senior officials unveiled a $12 billion farm aid package to provide support for farmers impacted by market and commodity market losses. Speaking at the White House roundtable announcement, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins said the first $11 billion will go to row crop farmers as a bridge payment until the new golden age when farmers can support themselves without relying on government assistance. Row crop farmers can expect an estimate of their payment amount before the end of the year. Payments will be distributed by the end of February of 2026. The final $1 billion of the $12 billion package is reserved for specialty crop growers. Rollins said the administration is still working to best understand where specialty crop growers are in the farm economy to determine how payments will be set and which crops will be included. Minnesota Congresswoman Angie Craig serves as ranking member on the House Ag Committee. To begin our conversation, I asked what her initial reaction was to the farm aid package.
Look, we've been saying from the start that we need assistance for family farmers as a result of the president's trade war. It's really been incredibly difficult out there for row crop producers for sure. But this aid package itself, it's just not enough. I mean, Senator Bozeman has already said that we're going to have to do more. The fact that specialty crops have been left out of this package is very concerning to me. And candidly, you know, it's $11 billion to row crop, $1 billion in sort of undefined money. That's $12 billion total when somehow we could find $40 billion to send to Argentina. So it's not adequate. And the truth is, we're going to be right back where we are today, this time next year, unless the president and the administration actually changes its trade policy. So this isn't really what my farmers want in Minnesota. You all know they've been devastated by the export markets to China for soybeans completely drying up. And what the administration has done with China is just too little, too late. It's tough out there in farm country, and this aid package does not meet the moment.
Yeah, and you mentioned, I'd like to talk about the specialty crop growers in particular. I mean, you mentioned they just have about $1 billion of that package earmarked for them. And you mentioned Senator Bozeman has already talked about this second aid package. But, you know, I'm curious, how should that second aid package be developed to better accommodate those specialty crop growers? I mean, how broad should it be? And, you know, which types of operations should receive aid in that?
Well, that's why the administration needs to come to Congress, because then we can sit down across the aisle and have those discussions. To just completely leave specialty crop growers who've been hurt out of the package. Look, the Farm Bureau has even said that family farmers have lost $30 billion this year already in revenue because of the lack of markets. And that's on top of $12 billion in increased production costs. So what the administration is giving barely covers the actual increased costs, the input costs that have gone up. across our country. So that's why we need to come to Congress. That's why we need to have a robust discussion. And frankly, look, I mean, you think about the administration has called this a bridge. Where's the bridge? This is more like a circle. We're going to be right back where we started 1 year from now at a time when farm bankruptcies are up 57% this year.
And you mentioned that circle. I mean, American Farm Bureau Federation released an analysis that about $42 billion in aid was released or announced just this year alone between ECAP payments and now this program. I'm curious, how do you balance the need as a lawmaker in your position between compensating growers for the conditions right now, but also doing what farm groups and many of their statements called for this long-term structural farm policy reform to, really alleviate the need for payments in the future?
Well, we want to eliminate the need for payments in the future, but to do that, you're going to have to end the trade war. I mean, you look at all these tiny countries that the administration is trying to do trade deals, collectively all together, none of them, all of them won't make up for the export business lost to China alone. And look, I mean, it's ridiculous. The president goes to China, he secures a trade agreement that gets us right back to where we started when he took the oath of office this year. I met a lot of farmers earlier in the year at a Farm Bureau meeting who said they really hope that this was just a lot of bluster. This isn't bluster. He's really implementing these policies.
We'll be back with more newsmakers right after this.
Farm Credit supports rural communities and agriculture with reliable, consistent credit and financial services in good times and bad. We provide loans to farmers and ranchers, farmer-owned cooperatives, rural homebuyers, agribusinesses, and rural infrastructure providers. As cooperatives, we're locally owned and governed. We help agricultural producers feed the world. For America's farmers, Farm Credit, supporting rural communities and agriculture. Learn more today.
Think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you
Yes.
asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources.
This
is my sustainability story.
Welcome back. China made a commitment to purchase 12 million metric tons of soybeans by the end of the year, but U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer recently said that refers to the growing season, not the calendar year. We asked House Ag Committee Ranking Member Angie Craig if it's clear to her when that deadline is and if she anticipates China to meet the target.
The goalposts keep changing. I mean, it's getting kind of ridiculous. I don't listen to anything this administration says now. When it comes to timelines and what they intend to do. We estimate that maybe China has reached 25% at this point to its level of commitment it made to the United States. And again, even if it reached 100%, they would be right back where they are. And remember what's happening here. These trade agreements, these markets don't come back quickly. We're still recovering from President Trump's first trade war when he came back to office and implemented a second trade war. And during that period of time, Brazil and Argentina have done, frankly, a terrific job of, doing what they needed to do to be able to fill the gap in for that American farmers are feeling. So look, I don't know how many times I have to say that this is ill thought out policy when it comes to our family farmers. I've been saying that since day one, that if this is what the administration was going to do, this is where we were going to end up. We would need more government funding. I know my farmers don't want this. They want trade. They want robust markets. And, frankly, this coming back to the well every single year to Congress, it's not going to last forever.
And you mentioned opening domestic markets, but as we wrap up here, one exchange during the White House roundtable this week was on opening domestic markets for row crops by passing year-round E15. I mean, does the current trade situation, do you think, make a case for finally getting year-round E15 across the finish line?
Well, it shouldn't take a trade war and decimating export markets to convince the administration that year-round E15 is a good idea. Folks may not remember that I actually was the member of Congress before I was the top Democrat on the Ag Committee, who is the only member of Congress who ever got year-round E15 across the finish line in the House of Representatives. And of course, unfortunately, we couldn't get it done in the Senate, and that was under a Democratic-controlled White House and administration. So I sure hope it puts additional pressure on the White House to finally get year-round E15 across the finish line.
We'll be back with more newsmakers, but first, Andrew Haneke looks at how the upcoming round of Farmer Bridge Assistance payments could compare to Emergency Commodity Assistance Program payments farmers received in 2025.
The Trump administration will provide $12 billion in financial support for farmers, with the first $11 billion going to row crop producers before the end of February. That $11 billion will be distributed as bridge payments through the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program. USDA believes the payments will help address market disruptions, higher input costs, inflation, and export losses. This chart shows the estimated comparison of payments per acre between the 2025 Emergency Commodity Assistance Program and the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program. You can see farmers could expect to receive more money per acre from the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program for corn, soybeans, wheat, cotton, sorghum, and rice. For AgriPulse, I'm Andrew Haneke.
Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This critical tool helps keep your food costs down, and without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep trial lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back. Call your local representative.
Join us as we celebrate three decades of Commodity Classic, agriculture's largest farmer-led event, February 25th through 27th. Experience game-changing solutions. Connect with thousands of forward-thinking farmers and explore innovations from over 400 companies, all focused on powering your farm forward with efficiency and profitability. Housing and registration opens November 6th. Don't miss 30 years of agricultural excellence in the heart of Texas.
Welcome back. USDA announced a $12 billion farm aid package this week to support producers impacted by market loss and low commodity prices. We're joined by Eric Gibson with Rabobank and Jonathan Kappas from the University of Illinois Gardner Ag Policy Program on our panel this week. To begin, Eric, can you lay out what producers should know about the aid program?
First off, this was a long time coming. You know, we've heard comments and some promises for some commitments from the administration to ensure that producers would be supported through these tough times. In the current, you know, nature of things, this trough in the, you know, commodity cycle that farmers are going through, a little bit is going to go a long way. Will it be enough in the grand scheme of thing to kind of check that box in addressing all of the economic shortcomings that they're going through? Because again, this is way more than just tariffs. It's more than just, you know, exports, high operating costs, other natures that are making it a difficult economic scenario for producers. A lot of things that need to be addressed. You know, we've already heard some comments about some indicating that this won't be enough for now. But again, bridge payment until we get to those amplified ARC and PLC payments next year, that should be the goal of this packet. And again, we're all just waiting on more clarity on how these funds will be, you know, divvied up amongst commodity groups. You know, I think you can assume that corn, soy, wheat, cotton, rice, they're going to get a good chunk of this. But, you know, each one of those groups are kind of in a different scenario in terms of kind of a per acre and per bushel loss, you know, for this current crop cycle. So more questions to answer questions. But the big thing is producers should know where they're at on their balance sheets. They should know what their books look like. Anything that they can do to decrease operating costs in the coming season is going to be a big deal. I know that's really challenging to think about as inputs continue to be high. But just that continued nature, farmers are resilient in making this thing work. What can they do to take it a step further?
And Eric, the aid includes $1 billion earmarked for specialty crop growers as well. I mean, you said this is just a start with the aid package, but you know, I'm curious, is that $1 billion enough to cover some of the losses from the specialty crop growers, or what more needs to be done there?
Fortunately, a lot of these specialty markets are a little bit more stable right now. They have the opportunity to serve a domestic marketplace, which hasn't been shaken up as badly by some of the trade dynamics right now. So welcomed. When you look at the representation of, you know, specialty crop receipts in the U.S., that $1 billion to, you know, $11 billion, it's a little off what the numbers look like in terms of cash receipts. So I think our specialty producers would like to see that number go up a little bit. But again, you know, this administration has maintained that it is here to support producers. You know, with the first trade war, there were a number of packets that came out to support producers. And then going into an election year, you know, what are representatives, Congress folks that are seeking re-election, what are they willing to do and work together on to make sure that their constituents are taken care of? I think those questions, again, will remain there, but should be opportunistic about some additional support at some point.
We'll be back with more Newsmakers right after the break.
I think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources. This
is my sustainability story.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
The recently announced Farmer Bridge Assistance Program is the second round of farm economic assistance announced this year, totaling $42 billion in 2025 alone. We asked Jonathan Kappas with the Gardner Agriculture Policy Program at the University of Illinois if the payments are enough to support farmers financing the next growing season, or if he expects farm bankruptcies to rise.
This just gives me a whole lot of concern. I think we're actually seeing these payments probably make everything worse over time. And I don't disagree with what Eric said. Farmers are obviously hitting some rough patches, and the trade and tariff conflicts are complicating everything further, particularly the back and forth. One day we have, you know, one announcement versus another. But at the end of the day, one of the things Eric said I think is incredibly important is farmers have to manage through this, and that includes adjustments, dealing with high input costs, cash rents, and everything else. And these payments are more likely to keep those costs up and push farmers over cliffs that I just think we're heading in a very dangerous direction. The idea that we have to bridge from $10 billion in the spring to $13 billion projected for next fall, and then maybe come seeking more funds is, I think, a really, really difficult and I think potentially really problematic thing for farmers. I mean, I understand that, you know, there's political reasons for this, but when you're a farmer and worried about the, you know, how do you go to your landlord and negotiate a new cash rent when they just see you get you got $22 billion in additional payments? And so I think we're setting a lot of people up for a really tough situation because particularly if the Chinese market does not come back in any real manner, and we've given a lot of that away to Brazil. These payments are temporary, but the consequences of everything are gonna be a lot longer term.
Final question I'll give to both of you, but Eric, if you'd like to start, I mean, congressional leaders are saying they're looking at this second aid package in early 2026, but some farm groups are, you know, in their statements to the aid package released this week are saying, you know, really we need these long-term structural farm policy changes to stop the reliance on these payments. So I'm curious, you know, when you look at the farm economy, is this second round of payments needed? And second, you know, what should be done to really make these longer term corrections?
Yeah, and Jonathan hit the nail on the head perfectly with this. You know, this is deemed a bridge payment. I would say it's a bridge to another bridge regarding what other programs could come out. And again, challenging to say, but, you know, we keep hearing the word Band-Aid. Band-Aids are all fine and dandy if they're short term. But the problem is when we remove that Band-Aid to put another one on, the wound bigger and deeper. And just like Jonathan indicated, our operating costs are staying high. Land costs are staying high. You know, not only is Brazil expanding 2-3 million acres a year, but their operating cost is about 10% less than what a farmer in Iowa would be producing soybeans for. So there's a lot of things that we need to consider here. And then you look at the grand scheme of things, you know, and beyond Brazil, we have footprint expansion. We have innovation where yields and production are just boosting all over the place. From the demand side of it, you know, if you bring up China, you talk about their hog inventory, they're more efficient on their feedstuff side of things. So virtually the entire supply chain, it's changing, it's evolving, it's improving. So what does that mean for the U.S. producer? Well, that means more dynamics that they have to try to understand and account for. New markets are a definite need. You know, from my perspective, I wish we could do a better job of addressing the best market here in the U.S. We have the best consumers of goods. If there are a way that we can alternate crops, I know that's very challenging because of disease pressure, labor, climate, things like that. But if farmers, we have to figure out a way to reevaluate this. And yeah, a lot more soybeans, a lot more corns coming down the pipeline globally. So again, looking at that legacy thing, what's it going to look like for your sons, your daughters, your relatives that are going to take over, the neighbor down the road who has ambitions to be a farmer? What's the picture look like for them? And again, it's, we don't need any more bridges to bridges. We need long-term solutions. And what that is remains a question.
And Jonathan, I want to get your thoughts as well. I mean, if there was a silver bullet, it would be done. But, you know, what should be done to make these long-term corrections in farm policy? And is a second round of payments really needed in 2026?
Yeah, I mean, what Eric just said just amplifies my concerns even further. Bridges to payments to bridges to payments. I think your question is the question that honestly everybody involved in this needs to be asking and working on, not just running around asking for more payments. I think we have got to, and Eric, I think, laid this out. What does this look like? If Brazil's over 120 million acres of soybeans, what does this look like? What does the American agricultural footprint look like? How do we help farmers make adjustments? And the other thing he said that just really, really concerns me is our younger generation, our early stage farmers. You know, they're the ones that are going to get really hit in this, and they're the ones that are likely going to get driven out first, and it's going to be harder to get in. And so I think we have to step back and look, I feel for farmers on this. And I feel even for many of some of the groups that work on this, we've put them in a position, right, where the only answer that is out there is to go in and ask for more payments. And I'm afraid this is not even Band-Aids. This is like an addiction type territory where the last amount wasn't enough. We need more. Now we need more. Now we need more. And eventually we are going to have to wake up and accept the tough reality and get policy in line with what that tough reality looks like now.
We'll be back with a look at the week ahead. But first, Parker Litterick looks at projected agriculture risk coverage and price loss coverage payment rates. And this week's Map It Out.
Farmers may soon be leaning on ARC and PLC programs for financial stability as U.S. trade deals remain uncertain. Both programs saw changes in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which increased not only the likelihood of payments, but also the size of payments. USDA now projects the safety net programs to deliver more than $13.5 billion to farmers next year. This map from FarmDoc Daily shows projected ARC and PLC payment rates by county across the U.S. for major commodities, including corn, soybeans, seed cotton, grain sorghum, long grain rice, and peanuts. Farmers with cotton, rice, and peanut-based acreage are in line for the biggest boost, with projected subsidies topping $86 per base acre. For AgriPulse, I'm Parker Litterick.
Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This critical tool helps keep your food costs down. And without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep trial lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back. Call your local representative.
Join us as we celebrate three decades of Commodity Classic, agriculture's largest farmer-led event, February 25th through 27th. Experience game-changing solutions. Connect with thousands of forward-thinking farmers and explore innovations from over 400 companies, all focused on powering your farm forward with efficiency and profitability. Housing and registration opens November 6th. Don't miss 30 years of agricultural excellence in the heart of Texas.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Both the House and Senate will be in session next week for the final few days before the end of the year. Tune in next week and check our website anytime for the latest developments on all things food, farm, and fuel policy. Plus, check our YouTube channel for a special video series on the future of ag technology. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.